1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. 1 Peter 1, 8. I'd like to say how much I appreciate all of y'all's hospitality and friendship. All the good meals you've given me, and time to fellowship with old friends and new friends. I've really enjoyed it, and I appreciate the opportunity to preach to you. It's a great privilege, and at the same time, hope I've been a blessing, and hope that the Lord will touch us and revive us. And I've needed revival just as much as you. There's no doubt about it, and I even believe I've gotten revived. Amen. Just renewing the thoughts of all these great things, even in my mind, just studying for a message is enough to get revived, you know. If you actually believe what you're preaching, you know. It's been a blessing. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's go ahead and read verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. I'd like to concentrate just on that phrase that says, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable. Yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable. You see, because most people have the idea that religion is a burden. You know, that believing in God and believing the Bible and trying to follow the Ten Commandments is just a whole lot of demands upon their life and takes away their freedom. And it just seems to them as a thing of dread. Like, you know, we have to go to church again, like a child might say. Or how boring a life it must be to be a Christian. And yet, the fact is, most of us can testify that that has not been our experience by believing in Jesus Christ. In fact, I might venture to say that most of us in here who have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and have decided to live by that faith and to believe the Bible and to put God first and to live like God expects us to, we would say we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. There is an immense joy in serving God. An immense joy in knowing God. So that those who don't know God and still have that feeling that serving God or praying all the time or going around singing hymns all the time has to be boring or just a horrible burden or weird, they don't have a clue. Don't have a clue. Don't know what it's about. You know, we already have the reputation. I mean, most people who don't believe the gospel or have not given their lives to the gospel or want the gospel only for a visit God whenever you need Him, just go to church when it seems proper a couple of times a year or when you feel a special need, if that's your entire experience of knowing God, then you might look upon us fanatic Christians that actually read the Bible through more than once and just keep on reading it and actually show up at all the meetings and actually get excited about old hymns, you think we're strange. You think we're weird. You think this can't be. I mean, what's wrong with you people? What do you see in all of this? We have this reputation of going through life, getting, you know, smacked around by circumstances and not even knowing that we had a bad day. We have the reputation kind of giddy, kind of not even know that, you know, we just got our car hit or a tornado took away our house. And we're around going, well, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You're so good to us. That's the reputation we've got. Why? Because they see us as, you know, maybe hypocrites. We just go around trying to be happy in all situations. Never does it cross their mind that there might be something more to it than that? That there might actually be a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory in believing in Jesus Christ? Joy unspeakable, inexpressible, something you can't put into words. Something that you can't explain if you try. Something you can't, if somebody says, well, explain to me, what's this joy like? And you can't explain it. Well, it's the joy of believing. It's the joy of believing. It's inexpressible. And it's incredible. It's something beyond words. Now, I know we all go through times when we're not so joyful. And it's very possible that Christians have forgotten that joy is their birthright. The Bible talks about Christians forgetting, you know, that they were once purged, forgetting things that happened before. And it's easy for a Christian to get later on in life, you know, go through a few things, have a few horrible things happen to you, and you kind of forget what the joy of believing is. You kind of think of it as a burden. I can understand that. And yet, who can deny that has ever believed, that has ever given their life to Jesus Christ, that joy in the Christian is our attribute, it's our reputation, it's part of the experience of believing in Jesus Christ. Not a burden. Going to church is not a burden. Now, I imagine if you don't believe, going to church is a burden. Actually, I've been into some church services where I just groaned all the way through them. Oh, it can't be. No. No. I've invited people to church and then just cringe the whole time. Oh. And I didn't ask them, you know, how'd you like the service afterwards? I can just put myself in the shoes of someone who doesn't believe, and I can see what they're thinking. You know, oh, come on, you guys got to be kidding me. You believe all this nonsense? You believe this stuff? And yet we rejoice with joy unspeakable. I tell you, it is not a burden. I just keep on going to church hoping for one of them good meetings. You know, if we only got one or two good meetings a year, I'd keep on going. It's just like all you guys that like to go fishing. You don't catch that many fish every time. Come on, give me a break. I remember one time Danny Kendall was telling me, yeah, I'm going to take you fishing, Bill. I'm going to take you fishing. I learned how to do some things. I'm going to show you how to fish the way I fish. Okay, let's go. Man, he drove me around all day long in the cold and we didn't catch anything. So, man, I could have done this sitting on the jetties. He did finally catch something, so I'll give him a break. He's a better fisherman than I, there's no doubt about it. But he don't catch fish every time he goes out. But he keeps on going out because he likes telling those stories about the time he caught a few. You know? He caught his limit. Oh, yeah. And that's all it takes. You don't need every church service to be a whopper. Just a few minnows here and there, and then once in a while a whopper, and man, that'll make you want to keep coming back. Man, there's a joy in being a Christian. There's a joy that you cannot explain beyond words that is the inheritance and the birthright of every Christian. Because believing, they rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Perhaps you can't explain it. Who knows? But there are some things that are explained. But just consider it. Christians are happier than unbelievers. Sorry. You want to do statistics, you go right ahead. I guarantee it. Christians are happier people. They're just plain happier. That's why if you watch that silly little cartoon called The Simpsons on the next door neighbor, he's a Christian and he's just a silly old giddy happy guy that everything that happens, he's just happy, 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 happy. Praise Jesus all the time. Well, we're happier. We're happier people. What can I say? If we're Christians, we're happier. And you know something? I'll tell you something else. Christians are more prosperous. Now, I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel. I'm not telling you everything's going to go fine if you accept the Lord. But they are more prosperous because if you stop spending all that money on drinking, and you stop spending all that money on alcohol, and you stop spending all that money on parties and all that nonsense, and you start sleeping a full 8 hours every night, you know, and you actually get promoted at your job, you know, and you don't get fired because you were late or had a hangover, well, you're going to be more prosperous. It just makes sense. Go to the hospital less. Christians are healthier. I haven't told the joke yet, so don't laugh. Oh, I get a kick out. We're just heavier. Oh, my, Christians are happier, aren't they? They laugh when you're not even telling a joke. That's funny. This is one happy crowd, I tell you. I lost my train of thought. Now it's still going to take me a while to get that one back. I was watching a show, one of these documentaries on some church somewhere where they were praying, and it was something about the power of prayer or something like that, and they were trying to explain to unbelievers what it was about these Christians that was special. And the people doing the interviews and all that weren't believers. But they got down to the end, and you know what? They came out saying, well, we can't tell, you know, about the faith, whether it, you know, heals faster or who knows what else. But we can tell you that there are many people in this church or in this movement whose lives have been transformed and that nobody can deny it. I mean, we're talking about drunkards that are no longer drunkards. You say what you want. These interviewers were saying, say what you want about their faith, whether it's true or not. But these people have found something that's transformed lives. Amen. That's why they rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You see, just one life transformed would make us rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We don't even have to have everything going our way. I mean, just one sinner repents and comes to God, and there's joy, not only in the church, there's joy in heaven.
Amen.
I mean, people are getting excited. One sinner that repents is a motive of joy. And let me tell you something, God's got a whole lot of testimonies. We're not talking about just one. We're not talking about one or two, maybe a handful. We are talking about thousands upon thousands of testimonies from all walks of life that God has one day touched and they were transformed almost overnight, turned into believers, and their testimonies have their transformation have filled us with joy ever since. I never got tired of hearing Willie Cosby tell us his bragamonies. That's what he called them, bragamonies. He said, man, people just bragging about sin. I was a horrible sinner and I got saved. He said, I don't want to tell it anymore. It's just a bragamony. Don't want to brag about sin. But you know, I didn't get tired of hearing it. I don't get tired of hearing about Billy Sunday, a drunk on the street. Here's a street preacher out there preaching and he gets saved and becomes a preacher.
Amen.
You don't get tired of hearing those stories. Who gets tired of hearing about Saul of Tarsus saying, I once believed that I ought to oppose this way with all my heart. He said, but one day, Jesus Christ appeared to me, and it changed my life.
Amen.
There's joy in believing.
Amen.
There's a joy unspeakable and full of glory in coming to Jesus Christ and seeing lives transformed. That would be enough.
Amen.
I don't know if you know about it, but there's joy in repentance.
Amen.
Might not come clear to you. And of course, it's not clear to someone who has no guilty conscience. Someone wrestling with God. Someone stressed out over his wrestling with his own conscience. Boy, you can't understand the joy. If you've never experienced it, you can't understand the joy of finally saying, I was wrong. God, forgive me. Oh, God, forgive me. God, is there any possible way you can forgive me for what I did? There's joy in repentance, just in the fact that you finally quit fighting and become at peace with God and come to God and say, you're right and I'm wrong.
Amen.
Oh, there's joy there. If you've never experienced it, you really do need to find that. There's joy in repentance and finally admitting you're wrong. You say, but that's just stress. That's just embarrassment. That's just difficulty. I'm telling you, you don't have to understand it, but it's joy when it happens. When you finally realize God is right, you finally give in and surrender. And you come to His feet and say, Lord Jesus, You're right and I'm wrong and I want to ask You for forgiveness. There's joy just in the act. But let me tell you something. Think about the joy when Jesus Christ responds to you and says, You're forgiven.
Amen.
That all your sins are washed away. That even though they were red like crimson, now they're white as snow. And He says, I will remember their iniquities and sins no more. Boy, there's joy in being forgiven. And I mean really forgiven. So that He can actually say, I won't even remember them anymore. No more. They're gone. They're as far as the east is from the west. They're buried in the depths of the sea. That's what there's joy in forgiveness. There's joy in coming to Jesus Christ and finding out that Jesus Christ really does forgive sins. And that He's not the kind of person that lords it over or wants to tell you, I told you so.
Just says, come on.
He didn't say, I told you so to the thief on the cross. He didn't say, what do you got to offer me? Oh, you come now on a deathbed conversion. You come now. You want to come now that you've wasted your life. No, He said, you're going to be with me in paradise. All of your sins are gone. They're disappeared. They're forgiven. They're washed clean. Man, no wonder there's joy in believing. Because when you believe and you get salvation by Jesus Christ, you just can't help but get happy. You know, there's real joy in finally having victory over those besetting sins. And you wouldn't know this joy, you wouldn't understand it unless you've actually fought some of your besetting sins. You put up a real scrapping fight up against your sins. You say, well, I'm not really sure what mine are. Ask your wife. Ask your parents. What are my besetting sins? I don't even know what those things are, my besetting sins. I don't even know what beset means. Somebody will tell you what your sins are, and you'll disagree. Oh, that's not true. I don't ever do that. No. Those are your besetting sins. One of the problems, one of the reasons why you can't even imagine joy in getting victory over them is because you've never fought them. You ever tried just to not lie? Just don't lie. Don't deceive. Don't be liar, deceit. Boy, that's difficult. Have you ever put up a good scrap and fight to try to stop lying? I read one time Deb was reading something and said this lady decided not to complain. She said, I'm going to go 2 weeks without complaining. And so she did, went 2 weeks without complaining, and she loved it so much. Her life was so much better because she went 2 weeks without complaining. She just decided not to start up again. I thought, you know, I think I'm going to try that. That sounded like a good idea. It ain't as easy as it sounds, I can tell you that. Me and Deb and Lena on the way up, we're driving up on the road, you know, and we said, okay. Somebody started complaining. I said, okay, that's one complaint on you. And so they started listening to see if I made a complaint. They called one of me. And we started adding everybody. You know, somebody would say, oh, that guy's driving recklessly. That's a complaint. You know, that start chalking them up. Deb lost all those. She cannot but complain inside the car. She thinks I drive bad. But trust me, brethren, that's not the truth. That's not why. I might drive bad, but that's not why. I've learned I slipped Dramamine in her coffee right before we leave on a trip. Got to calm her down. It's hard to not complain. It's hard to not complain. It's hard to not sin. And those who have tried to do it, they understand exactly what you're talking about. It's not easy to do. But my goodness, when the Lord comes into your life and really, you know, think about a drunk who has actually tried to stop drinking and he's ruined his life. And then God takes him over and shows him how to do it according to His Word. Shows him how to live right and to straighten up his act and to clean up his way. And then all of a sudden he's sober and he goes around to all his friends and he tells them, I'm saved and I'm sober and I'm happy. Let me tell you something. He's happy because he's victorious now over his sin.
Amen.
There's victory over sin and it brings a lot of joy. Right here it says, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. The trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. Then it talks about all this joy. What is it about Christians that find joy in suffering? You don't hardly believe it, do you? You're not really sure there is any of that. But there is. When you suffer for Jesus Christ. And if there's not, it's because you're just not seeing things straight. Didn't Jesus say that when you're persecuted for my sake or for the gospel's sake, you should just go home and rejoice?
That's right.
Isn't that what happened when the apostles got beaten?
Yes.
Beaten? They went home rejoicing.
Amen.
You know, it's an amazing thing. Seeing people get saved. And here in the States, maybe not so much, but in Mexico, some people who get saved really go through the ringer. They really get some trouble from their friends and from their family and sometimes from their employers. Some of them, not all of them, but some of them are, they really go through the ringer. And I have seen the cases. I haven't suffered a whole lot for my stand of faith in the Lord, but I have seen the cases where they have. And you cannot believe the joy on those people's faces when they come to the meetings and they're happy and they, even though they are suffering for Jesus' sake. I don't understand that. That just doesn't make sense. That's just beyond understanding. But let me tell you something. This is the joy unspeakable and full of glory. That is the inheritance and the birthright of all Christians. Did you know that God actually sends us through the trial of our faith? And that once you realize what it's about, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know, and the truth is, you know, you're driving along and your car is going chick, 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 chick. And you take it to the mechanic. You limp it to the mechanic. He says, your engine's shot. I mean, it's shot. It's gone. And you go, I'm going to get a new engine. No, you don't. Come on now. But you could. I mean, don't you get happy when you're going to get a new car? A new car is a whole lot more expensive than a new engine. But you go right home with a brand new car saying, look at my new car. Isn't this great? and you have a debt load on you for the next 5 years, $400 a month, but you're just tickled pink because you got a new car. Well, why aren't you tickled pink? Because you're getting a new engine. Getting a new transmission. Jesus said it's better to give than to receive. Do you know there's joy in giving? It's amazing. This is amazing. You know why? Dale used to say this all the time. I used to love it. He said, you know why people give and it hurts them to give? Because they give too little. They haven't learned how to give enough to make it start having, make it start joyful. Start enjoying it. When you give just a little, it hurts. Oh, man, it hurts. But when you start learning the joy of giving, the joy of giving to God's work, my goodness, let me tell you something. There's even, you going to tell me that the world can understand this? This is a joy you can explain? You can't explain this joy. But every Christian who's ever tried it knows what I'm talking about. The actual ability to give and know that you're investing in God and in His Word and in His Gospel, and you're saying the Lord hasn't forgotten it. And you know, there is a tremendous joy in believing. It's an unspeakable, unexplainable joy.
Amen.
And then I think about the joy of thanksgiving. Because when you finally realize, I already have what God's offered me. He's already given it to me. It's mine. And now it's not a matter of trying to get it. It's just a matter of thanking Him for it.
Amen.
And it changes your entire attitude in life. So that everything that happens to you, you say all things work together for good. And you can actually say, thank you, Lord, in every single circumstance. Saying that God has absolute power over my entire life. And that no matter what has happened, and some of it's horrible stuff, but no matter what has happened, you can say, thank you, Lord Jesus. My, there's joy in thanksgiving. Once you learn how to thank, you'll rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And what about not rejoicing or thanking God for all that horrible stuff? Why not just thank Him for all the good stuff? I mean, I realize it's a real step of faith to thank Him for all the horrible stuff that happens to you. But you know, a whole lot of good stuff happens to us all the time. And a lot of people absolutely throw away their birthright, just like Esau threw away his birthright, sold it for just one meal. Sold it for one meal, his birthright. There's a lot of Christians that throw away their birthright, the right to rejoice in the things that God gave them by thanksgiving, because this is our birthright. We can actually say thanks for the food that He gives us. You know, Paul one time said, those Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds. He says they're vainly puffed up by their fleshly minds. And I get to thinking about all the Gentiles, and I'm talking about all the really smart, unbelieving people. And there's a lot of them in the world, smart and unbelieving. And they actually would make fun of us for believing. They would actually think less of us. Think, you know, we're weak and we need the comfort of religion because we can't face stark reality. Man, that's a bunch of there's no room for pride in men. There's no room for pride in men. You provide nothing for yourself. And I'm not talking about just the air you breathe and the food you eat, which you ought to consider also, because you don't provide any of that stuff for yourself either. But every single convenience you have, God provided it. The properties of oil, the explosive, the combustibility of gasoline. You didn't invent that. God had that prepared from the beginning. These things are things God gave you. These things are things God invented and set them up for you just to pipe out of the ground and use. The conductivity of copper and the semiconductivity of silicone. You ever study semiconductivity? You'll be just simply amazed. How is this possible? It is just an amazing science. But that's all part of God's design.
Amen.
Humans didn't invent that. They just discovered it. That's all. This is all God's doing. No room for pride in man. Talk about vainly puffed up by their fleshly minds. Actually make fun of us who actually give thanksgiving to God for the food we eat. Oh, I guarantee you, there's more joy in believing than there is in all the unbelief in the world. you lump all the unbelief and you get that stark reality you're talking about. How do you expect an agnostic to explain to his kid where his kid brother went? Go ahead, explain that. You ever going to get to see him again? Explain it truthfully. If you don't believe, stark reality. It's not about comfort. It's about this confirmation of faith that when you realize that God has called you and you make that step of faith to respond to Him, and then the joy floods over your soul and you realize who your Maker was and what it's all about. You don't need an inductive reasoning. You don't need to see 1 point, 2 points, 3 points to prove there is a God any more than you need to find out why food works on your body to keep you alive. All you need to do is taste it. You taste food and you like it and you eat it and it keeps you alive. That's the way God created this world. He made it so very clear. He just said, respond to me when I call. And when He calls and you respond, it works. Amen. It's just the same principle of life. You need actual proof. He says, whom having not seen ye love. And seeing Him not, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You're looking for some kind of proof in your unbelief. Let me tell you something. The joy is in believing. You consider unbelief even just for a moment. Just consider it for a moment. Just look down that old dark street of unbelief and you can see just far enough to know that's the wrong direction and that's a dead end. Unbelief has no answers. It's a dead end. But you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. You actually trust God, take Him at His word, and then you rejoice with joy unspeakable, and then who can shake your faith? Boy, once the Lord has changed you around and turned you around and made you happy in Jesus and made you walk around understanding the joy that there is in our birthright for believing, nobody can shake your faith. Then you know it's the faith that is confirmed. That's the joy of believers. You haven't seen Him. You've got no proof. But that joy is enough. Just that knowledge that you're okay with God, that God's on your side, and that everything that happens is God's will for you. And being able to read His Word and rejoice and be thankful, that's confirmation enough. There's joy in belonging. You know, the Bible says He's building His church. He says God actually is placing members in the church. He placed you in the church. You believe in Jesus Christ, it's God says, I want Him here. That's an amazing thing. God has placed them in the body as He pleased. Wow. There is some tremendous joy in the communion of believers. I spent the afternoon with the Dalrosses out there, and I mean, you talk about some good fellowship. We can talk about almost anything. Just having fun. Just talking. Talk about the fellowship of believers. There's joy in the communion of the saints. There's joy in belonging to God's purpose here on earth. Man, it's a tremendous fellowship. And I can find this fellowship almost anywhere. You can go to New York and you can just walk into a church up there and wow! These people believe like we do. We can go to Poland. We can find people that the joy and the fellowship. You know, we went over to Poland just to visit the Brent and Janice there, and the brothers and sisters in Poland were just with their mouths dropped open looking at how Brent and me and Janice and Devin were all just interacting, and they're just, wow. They could tell we had a lot of fun in our years. Let me tell you something. There's joy in this belonging to the church of God. There's joy because He places you in it, and you belong. You didn't fall off a comet. You were born into the family of God. There's joy in believing. Let me tell you something. There's also joy in walking into the presence of God, into that throne of mercy, and worshiping Him. Amen. In knowing how to raise up your hand and say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. You are worthy. You are the only one worthy of worship. You are that blessed name. You ever praise the name of Jesus Christ? Lifted up His name and exalted Him in this glorious joy of believers, saying, we know our Creator, we know our Redeemer, we know our Savior, we know Him, and we can worship Him. Talk about the joy of believers. You think about the joy of believers when they saw Him after He had risen from the grave. Boy, they walk in, they see Him, and all of a sudden everything's changed. You think about the joy of believers when we're all gathered together, all together, and He makes good His promise that where I am, there also ye may be. Wow. There's joy in believing, brothers. This is the birthright of Christians. Don't throw it away like Esau. This is the purpose of life. The joy in believing in Jesus Christ. That's why you were created. That's why you exist. That's what you're for. To have joy in Jesus Christ, believing in Him and worshiping Him. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for the salvation that You provided for us. We acknowledge our sin and we confess it. And we ask You for forgiveness, and we know that we have received forgiveness through the blood of Your cross, what You did for us. And we thank You. And we'd like to worship You, Lord, this evening. We'd like to say that You are the only worthy one, and that everything You've done is so good. It's been so wonderful for us. We'd like to thank You. And we rejoice in You, even though we haven't seen You. We hope and we wait and we expect to see You soon. Lord, we rejoice in You. We thank You for all that You've done for us this week and in our lives and in our salvation. We thank You, Lord, and we give You praise and worship in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand and sing number 249.